Hello, Claire Nichols here with another bonus episode of The Hub on Books and an introduction to a debut Australian writer. Sarah Lestrange, what new book have you been reading?
Well, Claire, I managed to make my way through the piles of books on my desk, and the one that floated to the top was The Helpline by Melbourne-based author Catherine Collette. And it's about a 30-something woman called Germaine who's great at maths but not so good at interpersonal skills. Does it sound familiar?
Do you know, I'm thinking maybe a bit like Don Tillman in The Rosie Project, maybe Eleanor Oliphant. Is it that kind of feel?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. 10 out of 10. Germaine has lost her job at the insurance company and is now slumming it on a senior citizens helpline and getting herself unwittingly embroiled in council politics too.
Well, that sounds fun. I'd love to meet the character of Germaine.
Well, here's Catherine Collette reading from The Helpline.
So this is a scene in which Germaine is in the mayor's office, the mayor of the local council, and she's meeting a man called Don Thomas, who she recognises. The mayor has just introduced Germaine to Don Thomas. Don Thomas, it must have been some kind of alias. I guess it got difficult being accosted by fans all the time. I smoothed my shirt down at the front. Don, I said, it's a pleasure to meet you. I didn't say we'd met before. Even though a localised fog had descended on my person, I had the wherewithal to realise his not remembering the first time we'd met was a gift. I had a chance to make a second first impression, a chance I was squandering right now. The mayor said, I know what you're thinking. She didn't, because I wasn't thinking. It was too hard with him standing there. Luckily, I had the list folded in my notebook, a series of dot points comprising potential conversation topics and my current thinking on each one. If you want to be insightful, you need to pre-prepare. I only needed to open the notebook, unfold the paper, and I'd have access to an all number of interesting remarks. That was all I had to do. But I was having trouble moving. I could only stand there still, like a very lifelike statue. The mayor said, "You're thinking, why are they wearing golf pants?" No, but a fair guess on her behalf. The pants, the runners, it was unusual. There's a tournament at the golf club this afternoon, Don's Club, fundraiser for Alzheimer's. Speaking of which, Don, do you have to get back? I can deal with this. He cast an apologetic look at her, at me. I ought to. See you this afternoon, Verity. And Germaine, a nod. I'm sure we'll meet again. And just like that, he was gone, disappeared, leaving me feeling like the remainder in a long division equation. I didn't show it. If there's one thing I'm good at, it's hiding feelings. Most people don't know I have them.
Oh, poor Germaine. You do get the sense that you know this woman, right?
Yeah, there's something very recognisable about Germaine, which I guess speaks to the success of this book. Now, Claire, the interesting thing about Catherine Collette is that she is an engineer and her day job is working with water and sewage.
Wow, that would not be a job I would usually associate with novel writing.
So I've worked in engineering since about 2005, so quite a long time. I guess what works for me about it is the fact that the engineering side of things doesn't steal any creativity. Like, it really is that left brain, right brain sort of a thing. And it's nice to be creative and to work on writing. And then it's nice to not, to talk about putting a pipe in the ground and how do we, you know, how many centimetres off here is it going to be and all of these sorts of things. And it's also very grounding, engineering as a pursuit, because you can sit in a room with writing sometimes and you can think, well, is it red or is it scarlet or, you know, what is the precise shade of red, you know, that I'm looking for? But then sometimes at work I'll be there and someone will call up and say, I've got sewage spilling across my yard. What are you going to do about it? And that's very grounding.
Yes. It needs to be attended to now.
Exactly.
Mm. You can't just ponder it. And this book has been quite a success in terms of the publishing world. Tell me about that process, the bidding wars.
Yeah, it's been, yes, it's certainly exceeded any expectations. Text Publishing is my publisher here in Australia, and the book has come out this year, but probably 6 months ago, around the time of the London Book Fair, they had said, we're going to take it overseas and see if we can sell it in other territories. And so around that time, things started to ramp up. There was a lot of interest in America and the UK in particular. And it was just, you spend so long writing a book thinking the only people who will probably read this are my husband and my parents. So the fact that it has been published here is phenomenal. But then I went through this whole experience where different publishers were bidding in the States, and the bidding went across 3 days. And kind of the coolest thing about it was that because of the time difference, I was always asleep when everything was happening. So I'd go to bed at whatever time I went to bed at, knowing that it would all happen overnight and I would just have to wait for the email in the morning. And it was a lot like being a kid at Christmas, because the outcome, no matter what, is a wonderful, wonderful outcome.
Did you get much sleep though?
No, none. Both of my husband was like, check your email. But there's sort of a, you know, this person finds out before that person, and I'm probably the last on the list to find out, because you're constantly refreshing your email at 3 a.m.
This means, Claire, that it will come out in Canada, the US and the UK, and maybe Italy too, next year.
Oh, wow. Congratulations to Catherine. You know, I keep thinking about this character of Germaine. I really want to know where she came from.
Oh, it's an interesting question, isn't it? And it seems it's from Catherine's own experiences.
I actually work as an engineer now, but my first job out of uni, as I was trying to apply and get something I really wanted to work in government, was on a helpline. It was a government-run helpline. And people would call up and basically they asked about the terms and conditions of their employment. That sounds very simple. It was very involved. You had to ask people lots of questions about where they worked and sometimes how old they were and what day it was and how many hours they'd worked and all this sort of stuff. And I cut a lot of corners, so much so that my first week, there was probably 300 people in the call centre, I answered the most calls, which I thought was really, really good, very impressive. But my team leader boss didn't think so. He was making quite a big fuss about it. His manager was making a big fuss about it. And initially I thought, as I said, I've really impressed them. I'm really good at this. And it wasn't until they came over a couple of days later and said, we think we might actually give you some more training, that I realised that, yeah, they weren't really on the same page.
So being fast in the call centre is not necessarily a positive.
No, it means you are cutting corners. But I always liked that idea of someone thinking they were doing something really, really well and literally everybody else in the same room thinking they were doing an absolutely terrible job. That was a source of humour to me. And that was sort of the seed of Germaine. She's very much a person who goes through life thinking she's, you know, doing brilliantly.
Which creates the comic humour in this novel.
Yeah, exactly.
She likes graphs as well.
She does like graphs. I come from an engineering background. I am a bit of a maths nerd. And, yeah, she's definitely someone who sees the world in very binary terms, and the graphs are a part of that.
So take us into the world of Germaine. She finds maths easier to deal with than people. She's been sacked from her job as a senior mathematician at the insurance company, and now she's working in a helpline, a bit of a step down for her.
It is a step down. It's sort of a fish, well, certainly it begins as a real fish out of water story. Germaine is, you know, she's done data analysis as a job. She has never really had to interact with people too much. She doesn't really prioritise people in life. So I would kind of describe her as a woman who is very ambitious and very lonely. And I guess the novel really, or the course of the novel, is about her becoming less ambitious and also less alone.
She's told she latches on to people. And this makes Germaine act strangely in social situations because she doesn't always read it correctly.
She does. She does. In some ways, I see Germaine, although she's a senior mathematician, as that extreme end of engineer. And the stereotype of an engineer, many people would be familiar with, but is very much about someone who is very good at the numbers and not so great with people.
The numbers give a sense of security because they're kind of solid in a way.
Exactly. They're predictable. And I also think that the maths and the engineering. I think those things get a bad rap in the world. If a person is very good at arts, they're a great painter or a great writer, and they're a bit antisocial, that's the artistic temperament. You know, we have a really romantic view of that. Whereas if someone is numerically or scientifically minded and antisocial, we kind of say, oh, they're on the spectrum. They're a bit Asperger's-y. We have different views of, you know, exactly the same thing.
And we can be too ready to use labels too, can't we?
Exactly. We're all on the spectrum. That's the, you know, that's the nature of a spectrum. Everyone's on it.
Well, and I guess I think that's what makes Germain relatable, because you might not relate to some of her activities, but sometimes her behaviour, you go, oh, I'm a bit like that.
Yeah, yes.
And I can imagine other people latching on to different elements of that behaviour.
Yeah, no, I do get a lot of people saying, I know a Germain, this, you know, person is exactly like that. I think we all kind of know a Germain and also have a bit of Germain in us, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, we're not always great in social situations.
Exactly.
Don't know always how to read the situation if it's a bit complicated.
Exactly.
Catherine, Germain works at the council office in Melbourne and she's working on this helpline. And as a result, we see office politics in play. We see the politics around how many biscuits people can have, OH&S and all those signs that are scattered around the office that we all have. What are the absurdities of office life that you're bringing to the fore in this novel helpline?
I love the office as a setting. I think the mundane is really great fodder for comic writing. I originally started writing the helpline. As I said, I work as an engineer. I got a job in a council in a community development team. So quite similar to what Germain does. And while I was there, basically the first week that I started, they had offered free biscuits in the communal tea room. And, you know, people liked the biscuits. But then they had a series of rate cuts and lots of cuts were made to services and childcare and all this sort of stuff. And people were a little bit upset. But it was not until the biscuits were removed that people were outraged. And I think that there's a lot of truth in that, you know, as a comment on how people are. There's a sense of humour in it, in that people are so, so invested in something that seems so small. But there's also a critique in the sense that we are self-interested as well. We'll let a lot of things slide so long as they're happening to other people. But as soon as we're affected, you know, it means a lot more.
As soon as the biscuits are gone.
Exactly.
That 3 o'clock in the afternoon little pick-me-up.
Exactly.
We don't have biscuits in our office.
No. Well, I'm surprised they had them. I mean, this was sort of mid-2000s, so I'm surprised they had them then. I suspect, because I have thought about it, that the council had an office tea lady originally. So I think when her position was rationalised, the biscuits were the replacement, and this was that further erosion of, you know,
it's like the tram conductors being taken away from the trams.
Exactly.
You also take aim at corruption in city councils. We all know there have been a few cases over the years. Were you thinking of any in particular?
I have actually worked at a council. I think it's that theme again of when you first start working at a council, you actually forget that it's a political entity. When you're outside of it, you just sort of think, oh, it's council. They, you know, they do roads, rates and rubbish and all that sort of stuff. It's not until you're in there that you realise how invested people are in the roads, the rates and the rubbish, but a million other things as well. So, yes, there's definitely a theme of corruption in the helpline, but I think it is, whereas corruption is not funny when it's happening at the federal level or any of those sorts of things.
Or when it's in the council, it's using
funds. It's not really, but there is the potential just because of that scale, you know, when people are overly invested in something that to an outsider seems small, that can be funny. But it is still corruption.
It is, and it all gets exposed. Now, this novel is about how Germain learns to appreciate others and accept that not everyone will make fun of her. How hard is this a lesson for her to learn?
It's interesting. She does learn the value of friendship. Germain is a woman in her late 30s, and when I was writing the novel, or just even in reflecting on novels where a person is in their late 30s and single, normally the relationship at the heart of a novel would be a romantic relationship, whereas Germaine, she doesn't know she's seeking a relationship. She is. The relationships that she's seeking is much more about friendship. And I think why the novel works or the cast of characters work is because they're all flawed in different ways and they can all connect with Germaine in a different way. Sometimes Germaine reminds me of, we had a Dutch exchange student living with us for a while when I was growing up, and they would often say things that could be quite insulting, but the way they said it, you know, she might say something like, oh, gosh, you look terrible in that outfit. Like, that is an appalling choice of top with your skin tone, that sort of a thing, which is potentially offensive. But the way that she would say it was like, oh, well, yeah, okay, it's probably not my best choice. And I think Germaine is a little bit like that in her interactions with others.
Mm. We've sort of touched on this, but what is it about this character who's socially inept but who we can relate to? And we've seen it in Graham Simsion's The Rosie Project and recently in Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman.
There are similarities with all of those characters. I think, I'm not sure. I mean, Germaine is an unreliable narrator in some senses, and I think you could say the same of Don Tillman in The Rosie Project, but they're all unreliable. They're not unreliable in the sense that they're lying to you. They're unreliable in the sense that they misinterpret, and I think that there's a lot of fun for the reader in being in on the joke. You're aware from the very beginning that Germaine is not quite seeing things as they really are, and that makes you sympathetic to her.
Now, I've been reading quite a few comic books by women lately. How have you honed your comic voice?
I remember growing up on a diet of Secret Diary of Adrienne Mole and Penny Pollard's diaries, and then in later years, Bridget Jones's diary. I have always liked those comic characters. I think not only do they make you laugh, but they also create empathy and create different emotions. And it's nice. People talk about this category of writing at the moment, uplit, sort of uplifting literature. And I think
that's not a bad thing, is it?
It's nice. It's nice. And I'm not surprised that has happened at this point in time where, you know, there are some pretty negative, sadder things going on in the world. It's nice to have some escape into positivity.
I was telling a colleague the other day that I cry easier than I laugh when I read a book. And so it made me think that, you know, comic writing's really hard to really get that, to get that voice. How hard is it for you, or does it come easily?
I think you write what comes easily to you. So I think it's a style of writing that works for me.
But do you have to test it out on other people to make sure they are laughing?
The person I think of, actually, is often my mum. Like, when I'm writing something and I am thinking it is funny, I can often imagine my mum laughing at it, and that's sort of when I know, yeah, that bit's going to work really, really well. Other times I'll be like, oh, I don't really think mum would get this joke, but I will still think it's funny. I think I write for my own amusement, because you spend a lot of time. You know, I spent probably 5 years writing this book. And you have to enjoy the process, and because it's not always enjoyable, but if it is funny writing and you're setting people into situations that they may be uncomfortable in or do strange things in, that can be a source of joy, I think, throughout the process.
It sounds like a really good summer read. Thanks so much for bringing us that interview, Sarah Lestrange.
No problem. And the helpline is published by Text.
Now, if you're enjoying all this extra content on The Hub on Books, why don't you give us a 5-star rating on iTunes? It's a great way for people to find us and to find out about what to read next.
Oh, I'll do it right now, Claire.
I wasn't telling you to do it, Sarah. I was actually telling other listeners to give us 5 stars. But you do it too, and make sure while you're there, sign up to the podcast. I hope you've done that, Sarah.
Let me just check.
All right, Sarah Lestrange is signing up to the podcast. You do it too. Speak to you again on Tuesday.
forget your troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. The sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land. We're heading across the river, wash your sins away in the tide. It's all so peaceful on the other side. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away.